Welcome to the Bridge International Church, an English-speaking church located in the western suburbs of Paris. Here at the Bridge, we are committed to helping you discover God's plan for your life, relate to others, grow in your relationship with God, and experience life in the freedom of Christ. Join us as we listen to this week's message from the Bridge.
We are actually in the last week of a series called Exodus, and we time this purposely because of the likeness between these events. The Exodus that we read about in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, is actually the first glimpse of the story of salvation, what we call today the gospel, the good news. Suzanne shared last week about the deliverance that God brought through the Passover when he spared his own people and brought judgment upon those who had enslaved them. And the Hebrews, they look on this book of Exodus as God's history of salvation. It's that moment in history they look back to where they were enslaved for some 400 years and then were set free and became a nation, a people of God. The story of Exodus is much more than their story, though. What we discover is it's our story. It's the story of the freedom that God has planned for our lives. So when we look at Exodus chapter 5, and we're going to look at quite a few verses in Exodus today, chapter 14 specifically, and then a little while later we'll look at Luke 24. But we'll put the verses on the screen, and here in Exodus 5, early on in this confrontation between Moses and Aaron, declaring to the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let the people go, Pharaoh says this: "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Pharaoh was a leader of a country that was steeped in idolatry and the worship of all sorts of gods. In fact, he himself was seen as a god. And so his question is sort of like, well, who's the new god on the block? Who is it that you're coming to say is so powerful that I should release this mighty workforce that I've enslaved here in my country? And it's a challenge to this so-called God of the Hebrews. And it's a challenge that God took very seriously because he had heard the suffering of his people. And the story of Exodus, coming out from slavery into freedom, is God's answer. And as this story unfolds, as it's unfolded over the last 4 weeks, as we've looked at it, we see that God is revealing exactly who he is. In the very beginning, he tells Moses, "I am that I am. I am the God who cannot be defined by you. I am so much greater than anything you can imagine. The only way for me to express myself is just to say that I am." He is God. So today we're going to wrap up looking at God's miraculous deliverance in Exodus, but I want to challenge you to realize that God wants to move in your life as well. Freedom that God gave to his people is also waiting for you today. And just like they did, it's time for us to start moving towards that freedom. So if you feel shackled in your life, if you feel like things in your life are spinning out of control, God has a plan for you. God wants to be a part of your life. And we're going to turn to Exodus 14 and see this climactic moment of God's deliverance. After the 10 plagues, after this Passover evening where the firstborn son of every household in Egypt was struck down in judgment, finally, the hearts of the Egyptians are broken, the heart of Pharaoh is broken, and he allows them to leave. But then, as they're out in the desert, they're moving along. They actually left with silver and gold. It said they plundered the Egyptians. They had such favor, the people just wanted them to go. And they're out in the desert, headed towards the sea, where they would be able to make a normal path along where they want to go. And suddenly, in the distance, they see this dust cloud. Put yourself in this position. You've had this miraculous deliverance by God. He has turned the natural order of things upside down. There's been plague after plague that has come and has struck down the Egyptians. And finally, for generations, you are the first of your people to be free, and you're moving out away from Egypt. And they look back and they see this cloud of dust. And you must wonder, what is the storm on the horizon? And it's not very much longer before they realize it's the Egyptians coming for us. And imagine what must be going through their mind at this point. Every one of those Egyptian soldiers who had a son had lost that son. Imagine the anger that is in those soldiers. I don't think they were just coming back to enslave them again. They were coming to murder them. They were coming to wipe them out. You can imagine the fear that gripped the people of Israel at this point. And we're going to look in Exodus 14, starting in verse 10. As Pharaoh approached with his armies, there was these chariots, horse-drawn chariots coming towards them. The Israelites looked up. There were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." We see this theme over and over again, how it's so hard for people to trust God. And maybe you can relate. Maybe you've seen God do things in your life. The people of Israel, they had seen God do amazing things, miracles before their eyes. But there are still those times when fear comes in. There are still those times when, in our faith, we become weak and we just cannot remain faithful to God. We question, "What are you doing to me, God? Why are you allowing these things to happen in my life?" It's good to see that we are not alone in that, because again and again through the history of the Bible, that happened with God's people. But here, right here this morning, we can learn something, is that we serve a God who is faithful even when we are faithless. Even when the people cry out in anger and fear, basically saying, "God has brought us out here to die after all he has done to deliver them." But then we see Moses, who turns to God at this point, and Moses answers the people in verse 13, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Well, this isn't just Moses speaking. Here, in a moment later, you see God saying to Moses, why do you continue to cry out to me? Why don't you move? Why don't you know I'm going to deliver you here in this moment?" And we see the miracle that God does for his people. He's not like us. He's not like us. He's not upset because of ingratitude. I know as a parent, when my children are not grateful for the things they've been given, something just wells up in me. I'm like, don't you understand how blessed you are? Don't you understand how fortunate you are? And I know there's been times when my wife, Amanda, has just said to some of our kids, "Okay, I'm just going to load up all those toys in your room in the car, and I'm just going to go give them away." There's that moment as parents where we see the blessings that have been given to our children, but in their immaturity, they don't always see it that way. Sometimes they're disappointed. And God is a father who is perfect in his love. And even when we are faithless, even when we are not grateful, even when we don't appreciate what he's done, he continues in his plan of deliverance for us. So Moses speaks to the people, and they eventually begin to move towards the water. And we see in verse 21, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Again, this miraculous sign from God comes. This answer to not only the people of Israel, but to Pharaoh to say, this is who the God of the Hebrews is. I am that I am. Just as I have struck you down with the plagues, now I allow my people to go through the sea. But the Egyptians are so full of anger, they continue to pursue after them. And in verse 26, the Lord says to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. And the Bible tells us that the wheels of the chariots began to get stuck. They began to literally fall off. The hand of God was already against them. But then at this moment, the seas washed back over them. And in verse 29, it says, but the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on the right and left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. So we continue this pattern because the people have put their faith in God and in Moses, his servant, before. When Moses first came to them, God gave him three miraculous signs that he could show them to show that God had power over the Egyptians and God had power over their lives. But here at this moment, again, God has delivered them and they worship God and they trust in him again. There are times in our lives, and maybe this is one of those times, when you have to make a choice whether you're going to put your trust in God and whether you're going to believe in what he has done for you and will do for you. Because many times, like the people of Israel did, we go through times when we forget, when we struggle with faith, when we struggle with belief, when we struggle to remember that we serve the God of the universe who yet loves us so personally. When we start talking about the Exodus and this deliverance of God's people, and then we come to a day like today where it's Easter, where we see how Jesus himself was crucified. He became that Passover lamb. That is the direct link between the Exodus and the life of Jesus, is that Jesus himself became that Passover lamb, that lamb that would be sacrificed in the place of the people. In Egypt, they put the blood of the lamb over their doorpost. Jesus shed his blood for all of us so that we could be delivered just like those people were delivered that day. In 1 Peter, moving to the New Testament, the letters that were written from people that knew Jesus, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you. He saved you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. So on that Friday morning of that week leading up to the Easter Sunday that we celebrate, as they were celebrating the Passover that week, on Friday morning, Jesus was beaten. He was led outside the city to where he was nailed on a cross of wood, this common Roman form of execution that was the worst they could do to people, the people they wanted to make an example of, the people they wanted to execute in the most horrible public way. Jesus dealt with that. He gave himself to that. In our place, he became the sacrificial lamb. afterwards, there was this Jewish leader who believed in Jesus, and he came and he took Jesus' body from the Romans, and he gave it his own family. He gave him his own family tomb in the Garden of Gethsemane, prepared him for burial, and this huge stone was rolled in front of it, as was common practice. And there's so much around the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection. And if this is new to you and you'd like to know more about it, we want to let you know that we have some of these books called The Case of Easter that are free for you. If you'd like to pick one up outside, we have a handful of them, and you're welcome to them, because there's so much detail we could go into. There's so much of significance of Jesus' death and then his resurrection that sometimes we can just gloss over it. But today we celebrate that morning, 3 days later, the morning where everyone had rested on the Sabbath. And our story of Easter picks up then on that next morning. We're going to look at Luke 24. Read the first 9 verses. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb, because Jesus was buried in a very rushed way. The Sabbath was beginning, and they didn't have the time to prepare him. So now they were going back to the tomb. But verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly 2 men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." That's what we celebrate today. And they continued to them. They said, "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man," which is how Jesus often referred to himself, "the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Then the meaning of what Jesus had been sharing with his disciples suddenly came into focus, because how could they possibly have imagined what was about to happen? Just as God delivered his people out of Egypt with the symbol of a Passover lamb and leading them through the sea from a situation with Egyptians behind them and a sea in front of them that they had no time to go around to escape, a situation that surely would have led to their deaths, Jesus' death and resurrection in the same way is life for us. It is the way through for us. It's the path from death to life. I'd like to read from Romans 3, talking about what Jesus has given us. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So the Bible teaches us that God is holy, and when we sin, we're separated from him. That was the problem ever since the beginning, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God's commandment. "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement to make up for our sins. He presented Christ as a sacrifice through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. So where we stand here today, and I want to invite the worship team to join me. When we stand here today, we have the gift of Jesus that can be received by faith. When we feel enslaved by fear and failure, there is freedom to be found in Jesus. He reminds us that he is not expecting us to live up to him, to live up to his standard. He came down to be the standard for us, to be the deliverer for us, that delivered us from those expectations, delivered us from the burden of trying to live out holiness in our lives and doing it in futile ways that always failed. Jesus came as that gift, and I would like to give you a chance to respond today. Perhaps you have believed in Jesus for some time. Perhaps this is new, but you've been unsure how to move forward, and you would like a day, and that day could be today, a day to look back and say, this is the day that I declared in my life and understood that Jesus sacrificed himself for me and that he wants to give us life. You know, Paul, who wrote this book of Romans that I just read from, a few chapters later, he explains how to respond to this message of Jesus. In Romans 10, verse 9, he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's simply a statement of faith and belief in us. It's no complicated formula. It's not about church membership. It's not about any of the things we try to do to make ourselves seem like good people. We just recognize that Jesus is Lord. We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. So we celebrate that today. He says, you will be saved, for it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. How easy is that? But yet, as we've seen from the Israelites and we've seen in our own life, believing in our heart is not always the most easy thing. It can be a struggle. It can be a challenge. But we are made right with God, and it's by confessing with our mouth that we are saved. And the scriptures tell us anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. He is the one that will never let you down. You've been let down many times, I'm sure, just like I have. Jesus will never let you down. God has orchestrated the course of history for you, for this moment. So as we take a journey, as we have through the book of Exodus, from slavery to freedom, we learn about God's miraculous deliverance. We learn that that miraculous deliverance is not in the pages of history, but it's today in your life through Jesus, our deliverer. Freedom is waiting for you. We simply have to move towards it in faith in Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to get in touch or find out more about the Bridge International Church, please visit our website, www.thebridgeparis.com.